All right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. Hope everyone is having a great morning so far and enjoying the actual fall weather that we currently have, not the 80-degree weather that we had the other day, which I appreciated, but I'm ready for fall. So, man, I'm so glad that you're here with us in person. For those that are here, those that are watching online, welcome. Thank you for being a part of our online community. And today, we are wrapping up our four-week message series called No Fear. So it's week four, and like I've said each week, like I absolutely, like I've been so excited about this series. I'm kind of sad that it's over because I think it's so important for us today. And not just like because there's been so much going on over the past, you know, year and 2020 and all that, but just in general, like we become consumed with fear as people. We just do. Not only is it kind of natural for us, but our culture and society, even before 2020, was always pushing us to be afraid. To be afraid of anything and everything that we possibly could be afraid of. And it hits us in a real, real way, and we can quickly become overwhelmed with fear. Even if you're not like a fear-based person, like for me, I am very much naturally inclined to be afraid. I've like been fearful my entire life, like from being a little kid, hearing like the wind blowing outside, thinking somebody's like, for whatever reason, trying to jump through my window. And just, I'm always afraid of everything, pretty much, to be honest. I'm not even going to lie. It's just kind of who I am. But any of us, and all of us, can easily become consumed with fear and overwhelmed, and when that happens, it has a very, very negative impact on our lives. Like, I mean, it really, really does. We become afraid of things like the fear of failure, right? The fear of loss, fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of not measuring up, fear of change. More frequently now, we got fear of COVID. I heard the murder hornets are back now. Someone told me that sent me a Facebook article. Murder hornets are back. So if you didn't know that, there you go. They're back. So should be afraid of them, right? If it just, we're constantly being told we've got to be afraid of something. It's in our face all the time. And it's not healthy for us. But again, God knew this. You know, God created us. And he knew that once Adam and Eve fell into sin, and this world started a downward spiral from that point on, he knew that fear was going to be one of the greatest struggles we were going to face. He knew that there was going to be a lot in this world with sin in it that was going to lead us to fear. A lot to be afraid of. That's why some of the most frequent and common commands within Scripture is don't be afraid. Like, I encourage you, like, do a study on that. I mean, it can be as simple as Google search, like, don't be afraid or fear not in Scripture. And just look at the verses that pop up. Spend some time in that. I'm telling you, it will be very reassuring to you, and it will strengthen you. But God knew this. And he didn't design us to be fearful. Our original design was not to walk through life being afraid of things. He doesn't want us to live that way. That's why he gives us such incredible verses to get us back on track. And one of my favorite being 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, which is our key verse for this entire series, says this, that for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline, or a sound mind, as another version says. That is such a powerful verse. A verse that you need to memorize, you need to have locked in your mind so that when fear comes, you can shoot that right at the fear. Nope, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, self-discipline, sound mind. That's what God's about. So then we can reject the fear and begin to move forward, but it's a struggle. And that's what we're talking about through this series. We're looking at specific examples within Scripture of people who came face to face with fear or the opportunity to be afraid, and how they responded, what they did, and how God pulled them out of that or helped them to actually avoid the fear altogether. Because God is a good God. He loves you, and he doesn't want you to live in fear. And there are these beautiful examples that we have in Scripture. In week one, we talked about Mark chapter 4, where the disciples were out on a boat with Jesus and the storm hit, right? So we talked about having no fear in the storm. In week two, we looked at Matthew 14, and we talked about how we can actually have no fear in the unknown. Talked about when Jesus was walking on water and Peter actually had to get out of the boat into the unknown. Last week, we talked about David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 and how David was always the underdog. He was always underestimated, and he should have felt like he wasn't enough based off what everyone told him, but he wasn't trying to hear it. He knew that he was worth more because he knew who he was and whose he was. So therefore, he didn't have any fear in being underestimated and not being enough. Turned out pretty good for him. So today we're wrapping up this series. And before we get into our scripture, again, I want to keep it consistent. What I've done each week in this series, I want to ask you a question. And so I want you to participate in here. It's okay. I know it's cold outside, but you can participate. Raise your hand. It's all good online. Drop an emoji or whatever you want to do. But how many of you have ever experienced a situation in life where you had everything planned out? Right, whether it was a short plan, you know, over a week or two or whatever, or a long plan, you've had everything planned out, it's in order, it's ready to go, it's going smooth, and then all of a sudden, something happens that just throws everything off course. It just derails the whole plan, it flips it upside down, and everything changes. Like, in the blink of an eye, your plan becomes difficult, challenging. Maybe you feel lonely because of this thing that just threw everything off course. How many of you have ever had your plans like just completely derailed and wrecked like that? Yeah. I mean, it could be that you know, maybe you lost your job unexpectedly, or your relationship just went south quick. Maybe they unexpectedly just left you. Maybe you hit financial roadblocks, just boom, you had your financial plan laid out and everything was good to go, and then all of a sudden, you know, the furnace goes out. You know, I know a lot of us have been there. Maybe you were diagnosed with a critical illness or an injury or something just out of the blue, and it just threw everything out of whack, everything off course. Maybe somebody was supposed to come through for you. They said they were going to do something, and you were relying on that, and that was a part of your plan, and they just bailed on you. We love to have our plans laid out. I've told you all before, I have like contingency plans for contingency plans. But sometimes it just doesn't go that way. Now, how many of you in those moments, when things don't go according to plan, how many of you are hit with just a little bit of fear, or maybe a lot of fear? Just in that moment, fear starts creeping in. Anybody? Yeah. Some of you who are honest, that's cool. Me, I'll put up two hands, right? Because we don't like that. We like our plans. We like to know what's coming. You know, and this kind of makes me think a little bit of what we talked about with the unknown, but this is a little bit different because the unknown is kind of being afraid of what might happen. But today we're going to talk about fear in the unexpected. Fear in the unexpected. And that's when it actually happens and you're right in the middle of it. And see, I think the fear of the unexpected, it's so important for us to understand and work through this and somewhat be prepared on how to navigate this, because if we are not grounded in truth, if we are not grounded in God's word, when things don't go according to plan, man, it can just wreak havoc in our lives, disastrous, and we can spiral out of control very quickly. And the thing about the fear of the unexpected that I think is really interesting is that it's kind of a trigger point for so many other fears, right? When you got your plan laid out and then something unexpected happens and it derails it, not only is there fear in that moment because your plan's wrecked, but it's also fear of the unknown because you don't know what's going to happen next, right? Fear of maybe rejection. Maybe that's part of the unexpected thing. It was rejection. Fear of not being enough. Maybe you planned for things to go a certain way and it didn't, and you feel like you weren't enough to get it done. Or maybe it's fear of what future storms are going to come as a result of this. See, this the unexpected can trigger just fear upon fear upon fear. And so, it's so important for us to understand how to navigate this and what we can do to ensure that we are moving in a place from fear to having no fear. Living not from fear, but living in that power and the love and the self-discipline that is in the Spirit of God, what He wants for us, what He intended for us. So today, once again, we're going to be looking at Scripture, and we're going to see that not only can we have no fear in the unexpected, like that is possible, you can have no fear in the unexpected, but not only can you have no fear, but you could actually thrive in and through the unexpected. And that's even hard for me to believe, I'm not going to lie. Like, even saying that, I'm like, okay, hold up, should I have even said that? Because sometimes I struggle with that. But it is so true. We don't have to fear the unexpected. We can be prepared. And we're going to talk about how. And when talking about fear in the unexpected and thinking of Scripture, like, I can't think of any other person in Scripture than Joseph in the Old Testament. See, Joseph lived a life that was full of the unexpected. Like, he got hit in the mouth with the unexpected over and over and over and over again. Like, I mean, it was intense. His life could be defined as ups and downs, peaks and valleys, extreme highs and low, low lows. That was his life. That was his experience. But in all of that, we never once read that he was afraid. We never once read that he is, or see that he is being negative, ready to throw in the towel. No, we see him moving forward constantly. He is a perfect example of someone having no fear in the face of the unexpected. Now, in the account of his life, we find it in the book of Genesis. And the story of his life starts in Genesis chapter 37 and it goes through chapter 50. So are y'all ready? Start reading? No? You want the Spark Notes version? Cool. Good, because that's all I'm going to give you. So we're gonna go ahead and dive into the Spark Notes version of these chapters. And then from there, we're going to look at how he actually was able to live this way. How he was able to not only just make it through with no fear, but how he was able to thrive. So let's go ahead and start looking at the beginning in Genesis chapter 37. And it's in that chapter that we're introduced to Joseph. And Joseph here is 17 years old, right? So 17-year-old Joseph, he is the youngest of 11 brothers. And it is no, like right out the gate, that it is very clear that he is the favorite. And his father had no issues with showing it. He gave him a cloak, a robe that was, you know, that signified he's the man. That's my favorite son. You know, that's kind of a high, right? That's a peak. Like, you know, no parent's going to say that really, but like his dad was like, nope, that's my favorite. No shame. Then Joseph had these dreams, right? He had these dreams where basically what it meant was that his brothers and even his parents were bowing down to him. And instead of kind of keeping that to himself, he shares it, you know, because he's the favorite, so why not? So being the favorite, then having these dreams where his brothers and family are bowing down to him, his brothers hated him. They couldn't say, Scripture says they couldn't say a good thing about him. And so one day when they were able to get him separated out, they got him, kind of bum rushed him, threw him into a pit, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do to him. They're thinking like, hey, we're just going to kill him. So they have him in this pit, and then all of a sudden, you know, these people come by, so they actually sell him into slavery. Their own brother. They sell him into slavery, but before that, they take his robe, right, that his dad gave him, his, you know, favorite son robe kind of thing. And they took it, and then they soaked it in goat's blood, and then they took it back to their dad and was like, hey, look, this is what we found. We don't know where Joseph is. We don't know what happened. Like, they set the whole thing up. Meanwhile, Joseph is on his way to Egypt. And he finds himself eventually in Egypt. He gets sold to Potiphar, who's one of Pharaoh's officials. Rich dude, living large. But he's there as one of his slaves, one of his servants. But we see he earns Potiphar's respect. He gains favor with Potiphar, so much so that Potiphar eventually places him in charge of his entire household. Right? So we have favorite son, sold into slavery. Now he's, you know, on the come up, right? He's like in charge of this rich dude's house. Things are looking good. But then out of nowhere, Potiphar's wife takes note of Joseph. Says that Joseph was a stud. Maybe not in those words, but basically that's what scripture says. That he's a good-looking dude. He's strong. You know, he's a stud. And so he catches Potiphar's wife's eye. And she's like, okay, I want some Joseph. So she goes and she propositions him. I'm like, hey, come sleep with me. And he's like, no, can't do that. I'm in charge of everything of the house, and I'm not doing that. I'm being faithful to him. You need to go on somewhere. But she continued to push. She asked him again. One day when no one else was in the house, she's like, dude, come on. And she grabs him by his cloak. And my dude just like slips out of it and takes off out the house. Right? He's like, no, he's being honorable. He's resisting temptation. Again, that's kind of a high, right? I mean, he's doing the right thing. That's, you know, I'm sure it probably wasn't easy for him. But he did the right thing. But her feeling rejected, not liking that, she has his cloak. So she starts screaming and accuses him of trying to force sleeping with her. So she flips the script and says he was trying to sleep with me. Well, who do you think Potiphar is going to believe? Potiphar didn't like that very much. So Potiphar takes Joseph, throws him into prison. So again, we're at the lowest of lows. Now he's in prison. But check it out. Once he gets to prison, he finds favor with the prison warden. And the prison warden puts him in charge of all the other prisoners. So I'm telling you, peaks and valleys, like nonstop. It's a roller coaster of emotion with this guy. So while he's there, a couple of pharaohs, his cupbearer and his chief baker, they make Pharaoh upset about something. And then so they throw him in prison. They start having dreams. And then so Joseph interprets the dreams for him. And one of them for the cupbearer was that he was going to be restored in 3 days. And Joseph's like, so when that happens, remember me. Tell Pharaoh I'm in here accused of something that I didn't do, and help me get out of prison. Remember me. He's like, I got you. 3 days come, he gets released, gets put back in his position, and guess what happens? He forgets him. Leaves our guy Joseph hanging. And then he stays in prison for 2 years after this. 2 years after this, Pharaoh begins to have some dreams, and none of his people can interpret these dreams. Not a single one. And while the cupbearer hears this, it triggers that, like, oh, yeah, Joseph. I think that's his name. Yeah, Joseph's the guy. He interpreted my dream. So he goes and tells Pharaoh about this. He tells him about it. So Pharaoh's like, all right, bring Joseph in. So Joseph gets cleaned up, and he goes in there. Pharaoh tells him his dream, and Joseph interprets his dream. Basically tells him, hey, your dream is saying, this is God forewarning you and telling you what's about to happen, that you're going to have 7 years of like incredible harvest, like record-breaking harvest. We're going to be like bringing in the grain like crazy. And then after that, 7 years of famine. And so he lays out this plan, like, we've got to be careful. We got to take a certain percentage of all the grain during the good time to help us get through the famine. Pharaoh likes it. He's like, all right, I can see that God is with you, that God is speaking to you. So Pharaoh then takes this guy from prison and appoints him the head over everything in Egypt. Eventually, the 7 years of harvest come, then the 7 years of famine. And in that 7 years of famine, scripture says that people from all over the world came to Egypt to get grain from Joseph because the famine was that severe and that widespread. And if you know the story, you know that his brothers actually come. and get grain from him. Not only does he end up being in charge of Egypt, saving the world, really, but his own brothers who sold him out in the beginning. Talk about the constant unexpected events of that man's life. Like, I mean, it is just ups and downs. Whenever I think like, hey, things are going good, and then it's like, I don't know, then it's a struggle, and like, oh, it's good. Like, I just got to think of Joseph. Like, and that all happened in a span of 13 years. When he was appointed over everything in Egypt, he was 30. So from 17 till 30, all of that transpired. Ups and downs like crazy. And I can't imagine how difficult and painful and emotional and frustrating all of that time was. Yet, through all of that, we never read once that he had fear in any of those unexpected things that took place. But how? Like, for me, when I think about that, like, if I went through all that, I would have a lot of questions. I would have a lot of questions for God. I would be very frustrated and would be just like, man, can we just ride this wave for a little longer before, like, the whole bottom falls out? Like, and not just a little bit, but, like, all the way down. But he never had fear. He didn't worry about it. When things went good, he wasn't living in fear of what was going to happen next. He just kept moving forward. And when we read through this account, and I encourage you, and I know it's a lot of chapters, but I encourage you to go back and read through this, through these passages of Scripture. It's amazing. And they're beautiful. But I want you to go back and read through it. But when you read through it in more detail, you see two very clear reasons as to why he's able to have no fear in the unexpected. When he gets punched in the mouth at the unexpected, he had no fear and he kept moving forward for two main reasons. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at these two main reasons, and I'm actually going to read a few of the passages of Scripture that we see this. And the two things are this, very simply and very clearly and very powerfully, is one, we see that God was with Joseph in the unexpected. God was with him. God never left him and was with him constantly in the unexpected. The second thing that we see is that God granted Joseph favor in the unexpected. The whole time, every event that took place, God was with him and God granted him favor. And because of those two facts, Joseph was always going to win. No matter what unexpected event took place, with God with him and with God's favor on his life, he was going to win. Which allowed him to operate and navigate through those times with no fear. Check it out. Genesis chapter 39. We'll start in verse 2. It says this right out the gate. The Lord was with Joseph. And this is the time where he landed in Potiphar's home when Potiphar purchased him. So the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. Because the Lord was with him. Because he had favor. That shouldn't have happened. Honestly, those are unexpected events as well. It's interesting to think about the fact that unexpected events can be both positive and negative. And both of them can catch us way off guard. Both of them can create fear within us. This was a positive, unexpected event. In the midst of a very negative, unexpected event. But it was because God was with him. Gave him favor. Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. We're going to read 21 and then verse 23. It says, Joseph's master took him, again, Potiphar, and put him, this was after his wife accused him. So Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So he's in there with the king's prisoners. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. There it is again. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Then verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. I mean, he's still a prisoner. But they didn't pay attention to anything under his care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. See the pattern? See the theme here? He didn't have fear because he knew God was with him. And God's favor on his life. And then in Genesis 41, verse 16 and 25, this is when he's before Pharaoh. Pharaoh's asking him to interpret his dreams. Check out what Joseph says. He says, I cannot do it. He's like, I can't interpret your dreams. Can't do it. He said, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. He's talking about the two different dreams. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Then verse 39, he said, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. He said, you'll be in charge of my palace, and all of my people are submitted to your orders. Check this out. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. This was a prisoner. Only in respect to the throne will I, Pharaoh, be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. The Lord was with him. Pharaoh saw it. He knew it. The Lord was with him. He had favor on his life. And it was because of this. This was the source of his confidence and his ability to move forward in the face of the unexpected. And I'm sure he didn't always understand it. Even though we don't read about it, I'm sure he didn't understand it. I'm sure he didn't like it. I mean, I would imagine he didn't like it. But he stayed the course. He stayed faithful. He kept his eyes on God. Even when it seemed like, man, he couldn't catch a break, right? When you read this story, it's like he took one step forward and then boom, the unexpected hit him. And then it's like three steps back, like every single time. But he kept grinding. He kept moving forward. He didn't lay down and quit. He wasn't about to let that happen. Not a bit. He was able to move forward in the face of the unexpected simply because God was with him and because God had favor on his life. And I'm not sure what unexpected trial or issue that you're facing right now, but what I do know this for a fact, that if you are connected to Jesus, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, I don't care what you're facing. What unexpected thing is going on? What I know for a fact is that God is with you. God will be with you, and he will grant you favor. Those are the things that I know. He will be with you. He will grant you favor. It's a promise. Again, go ahead and do a study on that as well. God is with me. Verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. Some of my favorites. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. It's truth. It's right there. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. That's favor right there. When God says, not only am I with you, but I will strengthen you and help you, that's favor. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Favor. Grace that you receive in your life when you come to know Jesus, that's his favor. It's a gift. I think people get real spooky sometimes when people talk about God's favor on your life, because I think it's been abused in some ways in the church at times that aren't healthy. But if you are connected to Jesus, not only is he with you, he's put favor on your life because he's going to help you, because he gives you his Holy Spirit, because he lives in and through you, because he gives you grace upon grace and forgiveness upon forgiveness, and he goes before you and he holds you up with his victorious right hand. God will be with you and will grant you favor, so that just like Joseph, no matter what you're facing, no matter the trial, no matter the unexpected thing that come in and just blew up your plans, no matter what that is, you can face it with no fear, knowing that God will be with you, knowing that he has put favor on your life. He's gifted you that. And that doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to have more unexpected things happen. I mean, look at Joseph's life. Crazy. But in the end, there was victory. And he knew it. He knew he was going to win. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you, when you're connected to Jesus, we know the end result. We know in the end, we win. Not because of us, but because of Jesus. Because he is victorious. Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because he goes with you and is with you and will always be with you. Never leave you. Never forsake you. And he's placed favor on your life. And when we actually get that, when we actually live like that, we will never be the same. We will not just sit back and go through the motions. We won't just come to church or watch online and just kind of go through the motions and check it off our good list and do whatever. No, we're going to be about it. We're going to live it. It's going to be who we are, not what we do. It's going to be who we are and what we do, because he'll be living in and through us, and we'll want to give him everything because we know that he's with us and he's put favor on our life. And at the end of the day, we're going to win. That's where our confidence should lie. That's how we're able to have no fear. LifePoint Church, whether it's fear in the storm, we're all going to go through storms in our lives. There's going to be things that happen that are terrible, that we don't want, that we don't like, that are dark and are scary. But we don't have to have fear in that. Whether it be fear in the unknown, not knowing what's coming and being terrified, we don't have to be worried about that because God's in control. He's got that. He's just asking us to take the next step. Keep our eyes fixed on him. You don't have to be afraid of not being enough, because through Jesus, you're more than enough. And you don't have to be afraid of the unexpected. And if you're facing the unexpected right now, as I know some of you are, to be honest, personally, I am as well, right now, we don't have to be afraid. We can walk through it with our heads held high, confident, knowing that God is with us, he's got our backs, and he's got placed favor on our lives, and we're going to win. Not that it's going to be perfect, but we're going to win. So I want to encourage you, as we close out this series, if you're wrestling with fear, whatever it is, take that next step in living a life of no fear. Don't try to see what the end result's going to be like, or all the 50 billion things you're going to have to do if you're afraid of 50 billion things. Just take the next step that Jesus leads you to. Maybe it's just understanding that he's with you. Maybe it's understanding that he's placed favor on your life, even though it may not feel like it. Maybe for you, it's that you don't know Jesus. You don't have a personal relationship with him, and it's time to step over that line of faith and receive that beautiful gift of salvation. I don't know what that next step is for you, but I want to encourage you to seek Jesus and let him show you that next step and let him remove the fear from your life so that you can live with no fear. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you again for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for the fact that you constantly remind us in your word that we don't have to be afraid, to not fear the things that we face, the things that we go through. Jesus, we thank you for the fact that we know because we read and we feel it and we've experienced it that you're with us. No matter what the situation, no matter what our feelings and emotions may be, we know that you are with us, that you've placed favor on us as your children, that through you we will claim victory, that we have nothing to fear. Jesus, we thank you for that. As we continue this morning in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here and like I said, your next step is just stepping into that personal relationship with Jesus. I want you to hear clearly that Jesus loves you. He wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with you. If you want to read more, read through the first few books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read about the life of Jesus. See what he was about. I think you'll be surprised. Throw off all the notions that you might have about what the church is and how a church has treated you in the past and just focus on the life of Jesus. It's so beautiful. He loved big. He cared for everyone. And he wanted nothing more than people to be made right before the Father. He loved people. He loved the Father. He loved you. He gave his life for you. Died on the cross, perfect, sinless. Took on your sin, your shame, your guilt, so that you could be made right with Jesus, or with God. And scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. We just have to confess and believe. Confess that we have flaws, we're not perfect, and that we're in need of a Savior, and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died and rose again for you. And he's the one and only that will save you. Just confess and believe. You can do that from your seat. You can do that from home. If you're watching online, if you're listening online, driving down the road, you can do it then too. Just call on Jesus, how he leads. If you have questions about that or want to talk more about that, I'd love to talk with you. If you're here, we can talk after the service. If you're online, send us a direct message, drop a comment, someone will get in touch with you ASAP. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Loves you. And for those of you that are Christ followers, whatever it is that you're struggling with fear right now, turn that over to Jesus. God did not give you a spirit of fear. I can't say it enough. That spirit of fear that's within you right now, whatever that fear is not from God. And he did not intend for you to feel that way, and he does not want you to feel that way. He wants you to feel power, love, self-discipline, sound mind. That's what God wants for you. So get rid of it. Lay it before his feet and begin to move in the direction of having no fear. The plan is outlined for us in Scripture. We got to dig in and follow it. May we as a church, as a people, begin to live with no fear. To live and to love fearless as Jesus did. Live and to love that way. Jesus, again, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Lord, may we worship and honor you, glorify you by the way we live. by the way we love, and by removing and giving you, laying our fear at your feet, understanding that you did not give us that spirit. May we start actually operating in the spirit in which you give us power and love, sound mind. That's what we want. So God, may we go after it. May you help us as we do. May we connect to you. May we keep our eyes fixed on you no matter what's going on around us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for placing favor on our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much for being here with us for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, man, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. If you'd like more information about LifePoint Church, you can go ahead and drop a comment below, or you can send us a direct message on any of our social media platforms, or head over to our website. But someone from our team will get back with you as soon as possible and answer whatever question that you may have. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, again, you can go over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Also, you can go begin to text to give by texting 84321. Text the amount that you want to give. If it's the first time, there'll be a small setup that you'll have to go through. But after that, you'll just be able to text the amount and you'll be good to go. But however you choose to give, man, we are so thankful that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what God has blessed you with. And again, thank you all so much for being with us today. We love you. We hope to see you throughout the week online, and we will definitely see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Have a great week.